Last night, I ended up getting back up at, I think it was 2 o'clock, and then I ended up going back at 4, and I tried to lay back down at 4, but I couldn't sleep. Well, I was up earlier, and I was writing all these sermons, and there they are. Because none of them was what the Lord wanted. It was like the Lord was stirring in my heart in every one of these areas, but that wasn't it. That wasn't the one. So I really struggled. So when you think that you come home from work and you said, man, it's been a rough day at the office, let me tell you, sometimes as pastors, they have rough days in the office as well. So I wrote 3 partial sermons, but this one kept coming back to the top. It's one that I think that I could preach about or on every week. It's a subject that in America is at epidemic levels. But before we get into the sermon title, let me ask, do you practice what you preach? Used to be an old saying that you don't hear it said much today. My dad used to say it all the time. He used to always say, are you practicing what you preach? And I believe that my dad was probably only in church just a couple of times. But he would still use that saying, practice what you preach. To him it meant, if you say it, then you better be doing it. So as a Christian, today, do you practice what you preach? Are you doing who you say that you are? There are a lot of people who say that they are Christians, but they do not practice their faith. And the sermon today is titled, Faith Practice. So saints, let me ask you, number one, are you practicing your faith? And number two, and do you put your faith into practice? Do you put your faith into practice? The biblical definition of faith, which we've explained time and time again, is acting upon what you believe. Well, as Christians, you're acting upon the Word of God. I believe it to be true, I'm acting upon it. So number one, that means I believe it, and number two, that I am doing it. In the faith business, that is practicing your preaching. I believe it, and I act upon it. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And when you get there, turn to verse 9, or verse 4, and now I'm telling you right now, we're going to leave Philippians 4 after I read it in a little bit, but we're going to come back to it at the end, so if you want to save your place there. So in Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. People will say, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it. It does not work, it does not work. We're going to get into that. And verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. We have read, we have taught, we have preached over this passage of Scripture countless times, and I'm sure that we will do it countless more times. This passage of Scripture, like all Scripture, is not just some glib saying that only works for some people and does not work for others. I want to say that again, because many times people will say that according to the Scripture. Well, the Scripture may work for you, and it may work in your life, but it's not working in my life. I'm not able to accomplish that. I am not able to do that. That is a lie from the adversary. The Word of God is written for you. It's God's breath in written form, and if He says it, He means it, and He means it for you today. There are too many that take it that way or feel that way about it. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't work for many in just a moment. But first, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to come back to this, so save your place if you would like. But turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 16, again. All Scripture. But let's add two words to that, because that is what the Scripture is saying to us today. All Scripture for everyone. Let me say that again. So we're in verse 16. All Scripture for everyone is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For everyone is given by inspiration of God, all for everyone. No one is excluded from the truth of the Scripture. No one is excluded from the truth of the Scripture. If that's true for the Apostle Paul, if that's true for Pastor Leo, this Scripture is true for you today. Amen. That means the Scripture is a truth for me, and it's also a truth for you. It's to be acted on by me, and it's supposed to be acted on by you. That is faith in action. Now that is practicing what you preach. Now verse 17, it says that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God desires for all to be complete or whole in their walk. Is there wholeness in your walk? Is there areas of your life that you're struggling with? Well, look at what the Scripture says, and we're not going to get into every one of these, so I'd be here till this afternoon. It says it is profitable in verse 16 for doctrine, because it's a truth. You can hold it to, you can hold the line of it because it is true. It's good for reproof. It will correct you in your walk. It will mentor you in your walk for the Lord Jesus. And it's good for correction. If there's something that needs to be corrected in your life, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will correct it, and He will put you on the line of wholeness and completeness in Christ Jesus, because He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be complete. And we can gain that through the Word of God. Amen. In verse 17, God desires for all to be complete and to be whole in their walk. God desires you to walk in the same faith with the same results as a preacher or an evangelist. He wants you to walk with the same faith with the same results. Verse 16 will get you there if you allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in your life. But let's back up. Let's read verse 14 and 15. In verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See that little word in verse 14, but it's not really a little word. But do you see that word in verse 14? It says, "But you must," what? "Continue." How about if we read it this way? "But if you must keep doing the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We not only learn them from the Word of God, we're learning from the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to get ahead of myself because I had this written at the end of my sermon. But do you know what was going on in the Apostle Paul's life in the book of Philippians when he's telling you not to be anxious for anything? He was in prison and he was waiting execution. Think about that. Paul was in prison. and wrote the book of Philippians, and he was reaching out to the people that were outside of him being incarcerated. He was in prison, and he was waiting for his execution, but at the same time, he says, I'm walking in the truth of God's word. I can have the peace that passes all human understanding. If the Apostle Paul can have it, brother and sister, so can you. Yeah. What does he say? He says, continue. If I'm continuing something, I'm putting it to practice. I'm putting the effort in. Remember, I said I was going to explain why the scripture in Philippians 4 works for some and why it doesn't work for others. If it is not working, do I quit? No. I do what Paul is instructing in Timothy. I need to keep putting the word into practice. We quit too easy. A word in practice is what you preach. Is a word practice. So a word in the word, in the phrase, what you preach, I knew I was going to mess that up, is a word practice. And you got to practice it over and over and over. You can't say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I tried it, it doesn't work. Then you do it again. You do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again because you stand on the Word of God. And because you're standing on truth, and you're standing on the Word of God, you know that it can happen in your life if you put the practice and the effort into making that happen. It happens for me. We all deal with anxiety in many ways. For some, it's just anxiousness. For some, it's just concern. But for some people, it's anxiety. The only way I can really explain to what you feel like is when I felt like that somebody in my family was going to lose their home and was going to go to the street. I felt like I swallowed a rat and it was trying to gnaw its way back out. Have you ever had that feeling? If you deal with anxiety and have dealt with anxiety, you can relate to that. So what did I try to do? Carol's covering her head with her Bible. You got an image, didn't you, Carol? Yeah, I don't like rats either. I most certainly don't want to swallow one either. But you know what that feeling is, where you feel sick because of what you are going through and what you are experiencing. I grow my faith by hearing the Word. What does it say in Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I grow my faith by hearing the Word, reading the Word, and meditating on the Word. So in your life, put the Word of God into practice constantly. Now let's go back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And let's take Philippians 4 and let's put it into practice. So verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You thank God, you praise God for who He is. You've heard me say many times, I got to double down or I have to triple down on my praise. I have to prepare myself before I start getting into the prayer. Because immediately I want to get into where I'm telling God what my needs are and how big that mountain is that I cannot move. But He tells me I need to speak to the mountain. Well, before I can speak to the mountain, I need to prepare myself to speak to the mountain. And I prepare myself to speak to the mountain by praising God. Don't ask me to say that again. You prepare yourself for praise and the thing that you are dealing with in your life by your praise and your worship of God, because it will still your heart, it will bring still to your mind and peace so you can focus on what you need to focus on. The first thing in a prayer need that you have, the first thing you need to focus on is on how big your God is, not how big the problem is. So you thank God for who He is, what He has done, and for what He is going to do. Amen. And you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you focus, and you focus. I remember that one time when I was in the 186 Military Police Company, and we were out on bivouac, and we got on the radio, and somebody was wanting to come back on the radio, and they said, repeat. And they said, you don't ever say repeat on a radio when you're in the Army, because that means for the artillery to shoot the bomb again, to shoot the missile again. You say overcome. Well, let me tell you, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah! Yes, we are overcomers. If you can't thank God where you're at, how can He lead you any farther? You got it?
I got it.
I get so many times in a text message, when I say something, they'll say back to me in the text message, I got it. In verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Through this I know that it is growing me. I know that God is going to use it for His purpose. You may not understand it and you may not see it, but what does it say in Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to those that are called according to His purpose. And it doesn't mean just good things, but God is going to use the bad things in your life to grow you up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next obstacle you face, you can say, I can do that. I can do that. Look what God's did here. Look what God did here. Now I can face this opportunity. We are in such a hurry to get to petition God, we forget a vital, very vital step, and that's praise, that's thanksgiving, and I need to focus in on Him, and I need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit through this. Amen. Now, you can say that last Sunday. You heard what Pastor Leo said. He came back to you today. He asked you for your forgiveness because I said something wrong. It still wants to bring tears to my eyes. But you can say that through that, well, He must have grown. That's what it's about. It's about getting better in Christ. So as I walk through this, I will exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not going to gnaw, and I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to bellyache. I'm going to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. That's what He's telling me here in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Gentleness. To all, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is going to undertake. The Lord is going to undergird. The Lord is going to take care of this. In verse 5 it says, people will see in that you're walking in grace. You're walking in faith. Repeat, repeat, repeat. If you can't get there, you continue to go back because you are an overcomer, and I will get through this, and I will get better, and God is going to help me. God is going to undergird. God is in control. Heaven rules. In verse 6, now we get to the Word. This is what the sermon is about today, if you haven't got it. It says, be anxious for nothing. Whoa. Let's take this in steps. Level one is concern. Level one, when you are concerned about something, it's in the back of your mind, and you just keep moving forward. It's a concern, but I've got it under control. It's back there. I know I may have to deal with it. I may that I need to do something about it, but it's in control. I'm okay. Level two is anxious. It means I'm worried about it. It's starting to pull my thinking apart. Because rather than thinking on this over here, I see that my mind is continually to be pulled back to that obstacle that I'm facing. The word anxious here in the Greek means to be pulled apart. Level three is anxiety. Now it's affecting me physically. To the point I feel sick to my stomach and it affects my day. Have you ever had that? Of course you have. At the concern level, now listen to me. At the concern level, you have a hold on it. But at the anxiety level, it's got a hold of you. Because you can't put it down, you can't put it away, you keep trying to focus differently, but your mind keeps whipping right back to that is making you anxious and feel you sick to your stomach. In verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow anything to reach the point where it's pulling you apart, and that's very easy to say, and it's more difficult to do, but you have to practice. Verse 6 says, to do what? Give it to God. Verse 6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because you're going to thank God for what He's going to do. God is going to take care of this. God is ruling. It's not in your timing. It's in His timing, but God has got this. I don't have to pick it up. I don't have to play with it anymore. I don't have to toy with it anymore. God's got this. I placed it in the hands of somebody that can do something about it because I cannot do anything about it. And because I can't do anything about it, why am I allowing this to make me sick when I can put it in the hands of somebody that can do something about it? Practice. I've tried that, it doesn't work. Remember, we practice what we preach. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And what did we say earlier? Paul was in prison waiting execution, and he's saying this is going to work for you because it works for me. In verse 7, this peace of God that we're talking about is available to everyone, not just some. It's available to everyone. Verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things you are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, what does he say to do? Meditate on these things. Pull your focus away from what you're focusing on and put it on something that is positive in your life. The things, now listen to the word in verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If you do what I say, not what Pastor Leo's saying, but what the Apostle Paul says, what the Word of God is saying, he is saying, if you do these things, that peace is available to you. What did Paul tell Timothy? Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. And this is what he says in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. You must continue them. In verse 8, you need to change your focus. God's got this. Let him have it. If Paul could do it, so could you. If it worked for him, it will work for you. Never exclude yourself apart from the Word of God. Because if you exclude yourself apart from the Word of God, that works for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me, then you're doing just what Satan has got you to do. You're doing just what he wants you to do, because he wants to use that obstacle to separate you from your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan wouldn't like nothing more than to use this obstacle that I'm facing in Oskaloosa, or we are facing, is to hurt me in my relationship and damage my relationship with the Lord Jesus. Do you see that in your life? What is he doing in your children's life to get to you? He already knows you know Jesus. He knows that you already know and are serving Jesus Christ. So what does he want to do? He wants to cause separation. And how many times are we separated because we just don't understand what the adversary is trying to do in our life? Practice, practice, practice. It works for me, it worked for the Apostle Paul, and it will work for you. Do you believe it today? Amen. Do you receive it today? Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today, to learn and to glean more from your word. To Father, that you would help us to be complete, to be upright in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Father, to strengthen our walk, because so many of us and so many people struggle with this issue. It is at epidemic levels in the world and the nation we live in today. And Father, we need to find that solace in you, that we can find that truth in you, that we can turn all things over to you. And that, Father, the peace that passes all human comprehension will surround our hearts and our lives today, Father. And I pray that anyone, for anyone today, that is dealing with anxiousness or anxiety, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would touch their heart. You would bless them, Father. You would strengthen them. And Father, as they give those things over to you, I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would take them, and in the name of Jesus, you would replace them with things that are positive, things that have good virtue in their life, that, Father, you would bless our church family in the name of Jesus. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.